check out beacons.ai/comicsfunprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need, all in one place. You can provide feedback, listen, support, share, enjoy these. We have our Patreon there. You can buy us a beer or a coffee. You can check out our Instagrams, our Twitters, our Facebooks. Check out our YouTube page. You can email us. You can listen to our podcasts on Patreon, if you're a subscriber, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, on Podbean. We have Google Podcasts on there. We have an Amazon wish list. You want to buy Kyle and I something? Fine. You can do that here. We appreciate it. We have Kyle's RPG podcast listed on there, so you can check out his Dork Day Afternoon offerings. We have Cowabunga links, so you can check out the Cowabunga deep discount FOC and pre-order list. Get on that. That's RLCS, so you can check that out as well. And we want to just give you opportunities to say hi, to check out what we're doing, support us if you would like, or just listen. Check out beacons.ai/comicsfunprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need. Thanks. Back to the show.
Aloha. It's Jason from Hawaii. Welcome to a special edition of the Comics for Fun and Profit podcast. In this episode, I will be interviewing a friend of the show, writer Melissa Flores. Melissa, welcome back to the Comics for Fun and Profit podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much. Now, listeners, you guys are in a treat today. She's here to promote the Oni Press's new comic book line, The Nacelleverse. I'm being honest. I'm very excited for this new comic book line from Oni Press. Some of you may have already heard news about this. Some of you may have not. I don't want to spoil. I want to keep all this stuff until we start. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, but we get into that, I just want to, I usually do my opening, before we jump right in. Melissa, I'm just going to go over briefly some of your works, and correct me if I'm wrong. Melissa was the former director of Power Rangers development and productions at Saban and Hasbro. She's the current writer on the Dead Lucky from Image Comics. That is part of the Massiverse. The first volume trade is out in stores right now. She's also the ongoing writer for the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers series. She's also written for Marvel Voices Echo issues 64 to 69. Now, this is the digital Infinity Comics exclusive on Marvel Unlimited. And she's currently writing the miniseries Spider-Gwen Smash. Now, when this interview comes out, all three issues will be in your shops, and issue 4 will come out on March 13th. And the sequel to this, Giant Size Spider-Gwen, will be in shops on March 6th. Melissa, did I miss anything? Did you want to add anything?
No, I think you got it all covered out.
Thank you very much. Now, before we begin the interview, I want to give a big shout out to Hannah Bahedria, Superfan Promotions, for setting up this interview. Hannah, thank you so much for doing this. Melissa, I'm going to ask, would you like to add anything to that?
No, thank you, Hannah. I appreciate it. It's always great to talk to you, Jason.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Now, listeners, I got some of my information from the Comics Beat article titled NYCC23, Nacelle and Oni Press Partner for New Comic Line, The Nacelleverse. And that article was written by Heidi McDonald. That was dated on October 11th. 2023. If you guys get a chance, please check out that article. Now, Melissa, before we start, where can listeners follow you on social media?
You can find me on X and on Instagram under Misty_Flores.
Okay, thank you. Now, listeners, I'm also going to give you the website for the Nacelleverse, because that's where someone got some of my information from. It's nacellecompany.com. To kick off this amazing universe, Nacelle Issue 0 will be hitting stores on March 20th. This is a 48-page spectacular that is written by Melissa. Art is, and I'm going to try to pronounce the name as best I can. The artist is Diogenes Neves. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
I think so. Dio, yeah. I honestly, I wish I knew. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's no problem. And of course, the amazing wraparound cover is by the legendary artist Mike Diodato Jr. This is that I've seen the cover. It's great.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay, let's just jump in. The first question, Melissa, may I ask, who is inhabiting this universe? And just go for it.
Sure. So every one of these properties was a property that either existed in like way back in the 50s or all the way back from like the 2000s, 80s, 90s. They are owned by a company called Nacelle, which is run by the incredible Brian Bulk Weiss. If you know him, he's done incredible work like The Toys That Made Us and a bunch of other great stuff like that. And he is essentially, he's bought in all these incredible IPs and he's put them together into its own incredible universe. So, in the Nacelleverse right now, and what you're going to see in issue zero is you're going to see the great Carlu, which was a big toy back in the 50s. You're going to see RoboForce, which is an animated series from Nacelle. You're going to see the Biker Mice from Mars, which I think need no introduction. I think that's probably the most, beloved of the properties at this moment, but I think you're going to love them all eventually. Sectars, which was also a toy line back in the day, and Power Lords, as well as some other great surprises. So, really fun group of different worlds, all unique in their own way, a lot of fun.
Actually, Melissa, I'm going to ask you just to maybe just to go over a couple things. Like I'm going to start off with the great Garlu. Now, I've never heard of this character. I had to look him up on Wikipedia. Can you give us a little
Yeah.
bit of background on him?
Yeah, the Great Garlu was a toy that was really big in like the 50s. And so basically he was just a big giant green monster. And think like Godzilla and the creature from the Blue Lagoon put together. He was just this incredible like reptilian kind of beast. And there wasn't really anything beyond that. It was just a big green monster that was a big toy back in the 50s. And so the way he has been a little he's been redeveloped and reconceptualized in our universe, he's a different kind of guy. So he's a little dude that can get very big when he gets angry. He's essentially just looking for a home because he's lost his. And that's kind of how we meet all the other universes, is that he is a drifter without a home, and he's hoping to find a place where he can resettle again and start over. And so in doing that, he meets another new character, and they're gonna basically go to all these different worlds and meet these characters, and the audience will get to know them as well. So he kind of becomes our eyes into the Nacelleverse and our kind of our way in.
That's gonna be nice. I'm just gonna just pick on a couple other ones like RoboForce. Can you talk a little bit about RoboForce?
Yeah, RoboForce. So RoboForce was also they were a toy line that I think had, I can't remember if they had a comic books or not, but they had some sort of animation, I think. I don't remember if there was anything else. And they were essentially they were robots, very in line with the time when they came out, which I think was like the 90s or the 80s or something. They were kind of clunky, like if you think of Lost in Space, those kind of robots, a little bigger. They had like big suction cups, really massive robot dudes, and meant to be heroes, and all had their own little personalities and quirks. And again, they've been redeveloped and recontextualized, and the toys that have come out are really cool. But essentially, the RoboForce are a group of robots who were created by a woman named Soraya, who were basically tasked with changing the world on Earth as we know it. They're essentially sentient robots who were created to be this incredible team. And now, unfortunately, things have not gone the way they expected them to. And we're going to see them trying to earn their place in this world and figure out what they're meant to be.
Now, also, Melissa, I'm going to also add too, because on the Nacelle Company's website, now correct me if I'm wrong, the Nacelle Company is working on a new animated series with the production company 7 Bucks. That's with Dwayne Johnson and Danny Garcia. They are attached to the project. And the show's, and they've already mentioned who the show's writers are, which is like Tom Stern and also a friend of the podcast, Gavin Hignite. Now, listeners, Gavin is a big time toy collector. He is. And also on the website too, is that they've also have, they're also showing characters designs as well. So
Yeah.
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's great. And I've had what I've gotten to see of the animated series is really fun. I definitely think what was really cool is I got to work because I got to work really closely with Brian, with Matt, and to really see what they're doing and the kind of characters that they're creating in these RoboForce characters. It's an entirely new, different world. I think it's very accessible, really fun, and I'm excited for everybody to see it. I think the comics is going to be the first time you're going to see any of these characters and get to feel for who they are, but at the
Okay.
animated series, you're going to really get to see them shine.
Oh, okay. Now, before I start talking a little bit more about the comics and stuff like that, I know there's also other beloved toy line and cartoons also included in this universe. I'm just going to go over. I just wanted to ask you a couple more. It's like, let's see, where am I looking at? I'm going to try to pronounce Sectaris.
Sectars, yeah.
Yeah, because that was the action figure line from Coleco back in the 80s, and Marvel Comics published 8 issues of that series. I'm going to say I vaguely remember seeing those action figures.
Yeah.
The toy stores back then. So can you tell us a little bit about those groups, that group of characters?
Yeah, Sectars. So Sectars, and again, they didn't have an they had like maybe I think a three episode animated series.
Yes.
You can actually watch it on YouTube. That's how where I found it. But they are essentially an entire planet that got mutated into insect humans, and they have a special symbiotic relationship with their insect companions. And so it's an entire planet full of these insect people who are basically in the middle of a civil war. And so they look very cool. They've got really cool bug companions, and but really the conflict resides in this idea of them just trying to keep their planet safe from these other insect people. So it's about a civil war. It's about trying to figure out what's best for their planet in the midst of all this change. At the heart of the character is a prince who's at the front of it, as well as a couple of other really fun characters. So I don't want to say too much because it's not I don't want to spill too much. They're really cool. They're really unique. They're a lot of fun, and again, really fleshed out little world that you're going to get a glimpse of in issue zero.
It's going to be so awesome. Now, before I ask you about the last set of characters, I just want to see in the issue zero, are you guys going to be also having a little introducing the Wild West Cowboys of Mu Mesa.
Maybe, maybe, maybe you'll see a little bit of that. I can't spill too much, but you might see a cameo, you might see a cow or two. You never know.
Oh, this is so awesome because because I'm the only reason why I'm really excited for this is it's to see it's and I'm going off the cuff, Melissa, but it's almost like someone dumping out their toy box and just putting, all these different, figures from different toy lines and making their own universe. And it's just so cool. It just sounds so awesome.
I mean that's kind of what it is. I mean, I just think Brian, he's such a creative force, and it's so much fun to work with him. I just think he's a guy that really likes toys, and was like, you know what, I'm gonna literally create my own sandbox, and that's what he did, and that's been really fun.
Now the last one I have to ask you is Power Lords, because I think
Yeah.
so can you talk a little bit about the Power Lords?
Yeah, the Power Lords, they're so interesting. So the Power Lords were created essentially by Revell, and they were meant to be aliens in a way that we had never seen aliens before. And so they look so interesting and so unique. But at the center of Power Lords is this character named Adam Power, who becomes this like crazy dimensional being called a Power Lord, and he's kind of like his own kind of superhero. It's like if a, I don't want to speak out of turn, so Brian, I'm sorry if I get this wrong, but he's kind of like Superman. If Superman were like a crazy alien and not like beautiful Superman, it's hard to explain. Like he's just so powerful, and he has like these incredible skills, but he his whole planet was taken over, and he's just trying to do what he can to get it back from these crazy monstrous aliens. But at the heart of it, he's a kind dude that really is just trying to live his life. And so it's been really fun. And you get to see a glimpse of him. I don't want to spill too much. Get to
Oh,
see a
yeah.
glimpse of him in the in issue zero. Just like all of them, you see basically Barlow has his own little adventures with every single one of them. And he goes, from sectors to Mars to all these different places. And we just have a lot of fun with that. The last one he goes to see is the Biker Mice from Mars. And that was really fun because that's by far the most well known, I think, of all of these in terms of the fanboys today. They love the Biker Mice from Mars. And I don't blame them. It's a really fun show.
Yes, and can, yes, thank you for. We're going to end on the biker mice from Mars. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the Biker Mice from Mars were essentially it was a cartoon back in like the 90s, and
Yes, no, no, yes.
it was these three guys that were mice that lived on Mars, and the whole premise was that they lived on Mars until this greedy corporation of aliens came down called Plutarchians, and they basically destroyed Mars because they mined it of all its natural resources. And the biker mice fought back and paid dearly for that and ended up being refugees on Earth. And then they find out that the Plutarchians are on Earth as well, and they're intending to do the same thing. And so they don't want the same thing to happen to Earth. But they're also these tattooed, scarred up, like cool biker dudes. And so it's a lot of fun. They're when we see them, it's a different time than in the animated series, but it was definitely the one that I was very careful with, because people just remember that animated series so much. I just wanted to make sure I didn't take liberties that people would be upset with.
And then correct me if I'm wrong, because also too, there's a also through the Nacelle company, there's going to be a new animated series. It's there's a new animated series in the works, and Ryan and already knew this is mentioned already in last year in the news that Ryan Reynolds is attached to co-producing it. Is that
Yeah,
correct?
no, it's absolutely true. He's got
Okay.
the Brian has like a whole plan and he's ready. It's it's exciting and it's fun.
That is so cool. Now I'm gonna ask you. Actually, let me ask you. I'm gonna bring up one question. While you were growing up, did you ever come across any of these comic books while you were growing up, or any of the toy lines or anything?
I remember Biker Mice. I think I was a little too young for the other ones, but I remember Biker Mice. I remember thinking they were a lot of fun. But it was really fun, honestly, to go back and discover them all over again. Especially and envision what would they would be like now. Because it's not a weird position, but it's a unique position to be in, where I know that all these shows are going to be animated series, and some are in development, some aren't. And so a lot of it is creating the world with their permission, working on development very closely with Brian and Matt to make sure that I'm creating something fun and unique for the comics, but also something that can also help inform where they go with the animated series, while still also making sure that this could be both like an enhancer and a refresher, but also nothing that breaks what they're planning on doing creatively over there. So it's been a really unique challenge. I've never kind of lived in this kind of world. I'm used to really doing my own thing completely, or Or living within these really strict licensed set of rules, like finding more
Yes.
Power Rangers or Marvel. So it's been this weird like middle ground that's been a lot of fun to deal with. And honestly, I'm so thankful for the editors at Oni Press and as well as the creative team at Nacelle for being so patient as like, okay, well, what is this? What's happening? What are you planning on doing? What if we do this? How does this work? Like they've all been fantastic.
That's perfect because it's going to lead me to my next set of questions that, how did you partner up with Oni Press? How did that happen? How did you team up with them? And of course, Nacelle, behind it all.
Yeah, I first worked with Hunter on when he was with a different company, and we worked on some things that never ended up materializing, which is what happens. A lot of stuff that happens. You work on projects and they don't go anywhere, or they don't flesh out the way they're supposed to. And then we met again at Boom Studios, and I was where I do Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And again, Hunter and I have a great relationship. He's a fantastic guy. And so when he went to do Oni Press, he said that he gave me a call and said, we have this really cool opportunity. It's a really interesting challenge, and I thought of you for it. And so I got to meet Brian and Matt, and I got to talk to Hunter and Sierra and Chris and Carl and all these other amazing people at Oni Press and just basically feel each other out and make sure I was the right person to take this on. And thankfully, they thought I was.
That's so cool. Now, and Melissa, if you can't tell me any more about your role behind the scenes, that it's okay, but because it sounds like you're more like a guiding force, or like, do you have a specific title, or
I'm just the writer. Yeah, I'm
oh.
just the writer. I get to write the comic books, and it's just because it's a weird it's not a weird. It's just the way it's created because some of these shows are in development, some aren't. I
Yes.
get to have a little bit of a hand in creating the new worlds. Like a lot of them, like Sektars,
Yes.
only have 3 episodes, and who knows if Nacelle will want how much Nacelle will want to stay true to that, right? I mean, this is Nacelle's baby. This is
Yes.
Nacelle's sandbox. I just get to play in it. But because there's only real sketches and lines at this point for some of these properties, it's really fun to have the ability to color them in and add some depth and help shape the characters a little bit. That's been really fun.
So I'm off the cuff question. I'm just gonna try to clarify. So will you be writing, the whole co I mean, besides Nacelle, the initial launch of the Nacelleverse, which is issue zero. So are you gonna be writing also the other comic books, the other series for like RoboForce, Spiker
As
Mars,
far
and
as I know, I'm writing around Boba. They wanted one person to handle all of it because,
oh, that is so cool.
yeah. So I wrote issue zero, and then I get to do RoboForce, which I'm working on right now, and Biker Mice. And as we continue, I'll get to keep playing with them. So that's been really fun.
That is going to be nice. Let's see. I'm going to go back with issue zero. How did you team up with your artist, Dio Genesi? How did you team up with him?
I'm very lucky. The editors are really the ones that get to pick out the artists and because I deadlines are a little tight, I just focus on the scripts, and that's the editors are the ones that are able to really find these amazing artists that will match up well with what I'm writing. And so really that was Chris and Sierra and Hunter that I can thank for that, for finding these incredible artists and these incredible variant cover artists as well.
Yes. I'm just asking, and if you can't say, or if you don't know at this point, because like you said, you're writing out RoboForce. Do you have any artists? Are you working with a current artist right now, and can you name who it is, or?
We are. I don't think I can say who it is yet, though.
Okay. All right. Okay. No, that's no problem. Now, according to the Nacelle Company website, now there's a section under the Nacelleverse. It looks like it's really planned out very well, because I see like phase one, season one rollout. It's like you have RoboForce that's gonna come out, and if I remember, and I think And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think like at least maybe RoboForce number one may come on sometime in April, and then Biker Mice from Mars comes out in July. So is that the plan to slowly roll out these comics out?
You know, it's really up to them.
Oh, okay.
It's up to Nacelle and it's up to Oni Press. I think, yeah, they definitely are going to want to roll them out in their own way. But I know that Nacelle has a very specific vision, and I think Oni Press is dedicated to making sure that whatever they do is in line with that.
Oh, this is so cool. It's just like I said, it does sound like it's going to be very fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm having a great time. I'm getting to know these new characters. It's been really fun just playing with it and setting up these different. Every single story has its own tone, its own
Yes.
goal, and as we're getting to know each character, is like even Nacelle, the issue zero was so interesting because I had like maybe 8 pages for each world, and so having to like tell a mini story in those 8 pages while also telling a larger story that made you essentially fall in love with each and every one of these characters in that short amount of time, enough for you to want to read a whole extra mini series about them was a
Yes.
challenge that I hope I didn't fail, but we'll find out.
Off the cuff question, and I know this is going to be a very, it's going to be kind of hard because it's one of those where it's like, do you have a favorite character? Do you have a favorite property that you love working on when, during all of this?
You know, I'm kind of a weirdo with that stuff. I think because I can become so consumed with what I'm doing. I think every time I'm working on something, suddenly they're my favorite. So, like for me, I Garlu is the heart and soul of issue zero. My dog is like, hello. Garlu is heart and soul of issue zero. So I love him. I love everything about him. He's just a sweetheart and he's got a hidden strength, but. You know, and as I write RoboForce, I really focused on Max 89, who is the meant to be the leader of the RoboForce and kind of is trying to figure out his own place in it. And so it's, I love Max. And, so every single one of the characters that I'm writing at that moment, it tends to be my favorite. So it's hard to say, honestly. I'm sure once I get to Sextars, I'll be like, I love these guys the most. Like, it really, it's, you have to find something to fall in love with if you want to love what you're doing. And so I am so thankful that I found something to love about each and every one of them.
Ah, that's so cool. This is going to be off the cuff question because you mentioned your dog. What's your dog's name?
I have two. One's name is Gizmo, and then we have a rescue foster that we're probably gonna adopt. He's probably gonna be a foster fail, and his name is Nono. He's from China. So we've only had him about a week.
Oh, that's so cool. That is so cool. Melissa, I'm going to slowly wrap things up. I'm going to ask you, what is your next convention or store signing appearance?
You know what? There is one coming, but I don't. There's one coming. I'm probably going to be doing some comic signings for the Dead Lucky and for Spider-Gwen Smash. I haven't announced them yet, but as soon, but just keep an eye on my socials, and I'll definitely keep you posted and let you guys know.
Okay. All right. And the final question. Any closing words to our listeners?
Yeah, just thank you for reading comments. Thank you for supporting that medium. It's a lot of fun. If you always can, please support independent comics. Make sure if you can to, I know it's always easy to wait for trades, but if you can wait, if you can buy floppies, please do it. That's the life and blood of the industry. Support your local comic book shop, and thank you for giving always giving me a shot when you pick up one of my books.
Yes, no. Melissa, mahalo. Thank you in Hawaiian for your time. Thank you for giving me another opportunity to interview you. I wish you all the success with the Nacelleverse. I also want to thank Hannah of Superfan Promotions for setting up this interview. Hannah, thank you very much. If you are a new comic book reader or a lifelong comic book reader who remembers these beloved toy lines and cartoons, please pick up the Nacelleverse issue 0. Now, the spectacular 48-page issue comes out on March 20th. Melissa, I cannot wait to read read this entire line again. Like you said, Brian, just like he almost like he grabbed. Oh, it's almost and I please, I'm just joking, but it almost sounds like when you're probably meeting with Brian, Brian goes, "Okay, here's my toy box."
I mean, it's not that far from the truth because he has all his models of all the toys that are coming out in his office. And so it's really fun to be able to see, and you see all the sketches of everything up on the wall. It really is, you're entering a little bit of a toy land, and it's a lot of fun.
And then
It's like a
also.
Wonka if Wonka was a toy guy.
And also to listeners, I'm going to again point to you that again, if you want more information about or like to see how much what the character designs are, go to the nacellecompany.com, go to their website. And also to I know they have at least couple of the some of their toy like the at least one or two of the RoboForce fig action figures on sale through their website. So if you guys get a chance, please check it out. Melissa, this part I am being serious. Listeners, if you know someone who loves these properties, please consider sharing your love of comics with them. Pick up, when you go to your shops and you pick up an issue of one of these a part of the stories, please pick up an extra copy and give it to your friends. It's like, again, it's like sharing your love of comics. It's like being little kids, sharing comics with, your friends again. So, and also, I want to thank Drew, the co-host of Comics for Fun and Profit, for putting this episode together. Drew, thank you very much for all your hard work behind the scenes. If you are a new listener, please check out new episodes of Comics for Fun and Profit that comes out every Saturday. And I want to thank you, the listeners. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for listening to this episode. Until next time, guys. Aloha.
RLCS is Cowabunga Comics, Lake Country, Wisconsin's best pop culture destination for new comics, back issues, gaming, retro video games, vinyl, and figures. Give them a call, 262-569-9999. Check them out online at cowabungacomics.com or follow them on Twitter at Incredical. They are RLCS. And we utilize their deep discount mail order service to bring Oconomowoc, Wisconsin closer to us. They'll take care of you. Tell them Drew and Kyle sent you. Say hi to Eric and James from us. If you need an LCS, you can't go wrong with Cowabunga Comics.